Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to All Brother, a podcast about Salford / Manchester's legendary and much missed musical institution, The Fall. Each week we invite along a guest to chat about their experiences and memories of the group. We consist of me, Paul Hanley, and my brother Steve, who as you probably know was a member of The Fall for 20 years. You can find us at all the usual suspects, but we're hosted at play.acast.com/s/All Brother. In episode 2, we'll be speaking to DJ and musician Eleanor Pulu, who has played with the groups Nohi Noshi and You, and was also a member of Berlin-based artistic cooperative Honeysuckle Company. She was also, of course, a key member of The Fall between 2001 and 2016. Hope you enjoy it. Okay, this is the latest episode of the All Brother podcast about The Fall and the various things that have grown out of The Fall. We're delighted this evening to be joined by Eleni Pulu, who was a member of The Fall for 14 years, I think. I think it was 14 years. I'm sure she'll correct me. And recently exhibited at the ICA and done all kinds of interesting things since her time in The Fall and before, but I'm sure we'll get to that as well. So without further ado, good evening, Eleni. Are you well?
Good evening.
Hi. Good evening, Paul. Good evening, Steve. Yes, I'm very well. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Very well, thank you, yes. And how has lockdown treated you?
Well, you know, our lockdown wasn't as strict as yours maybe in the beginning because we could leave the house multiple times a day.
Yeah.
But as you know, from being a touring musician, it was a very big change.
Of course.
Not being able to work and having to do my radio shows from home instead of being in the studio with friends and other people. It was very, very strange. How was it for you?
It was very odd. I mean, I used to work in an office, and since lockdown, I've been doing everything from home for the last 2 years. So
yeah,
it has been very odd.
Very odd.
Yeah. Of course, no gigs or anything. Of course, so
no gigs.
We missed all that.
Slowly, we're getting back to some.
Yeah, let's hope so.
So. The exhibition you had at the ICA, was that just before lockdown? How long ago before that? Then was it Nohi Noshi? Was that a long time before lockdown?
Yeah, it was Nohi Noshi. Yeah, it was just before lockdown and it closed in January 2020. So,
oh, you were lucky then.
Just lucky there. Very lucky to have been there in London. I'm actually here with Peter, who is part of Nohi Noshi.
Yeah.
We're doing this thing here together in Athens. We've been invited by an artist-run space called 3137.
Okay.
To do a concert and a bit of a, you know, exhibition because it's 200 years of Greek independence. And Peter and I have been working together for over 28 years now, nearly 30 years. And he has an artist group honeysuckle company. So yeah, we've been doing this a long, long, long time.
Wow. Good. You keep busy then.
Family. I have about 12 bands, I would say. A lot of my old friends, but also new friends. Just while I'm here, we've started another band with a techno artist here called Xing Kabal. But what about you? What are you doing now that things are opening up again?
Well, I think the Extricated are going to start playing. Well, I know the Extricated are starting playing again. We've got a gig in September. I'm not sure what will happen after that because we've not had a lot planned, to be honest. But we'll have to see, won't we?
I think in Germany we'll go back into lockdown. So we haven't had normal gigs. Everything I've done was outdoors. So yeah. I did a gig with a girl called Dahlia or Dice.
Okay.
And we played in an artist colony in Berlin in the forest. So things like that we can do, but we don't really have indoor gigs as such in Berlin.
Wow.
And also here in Athens, it's really warm, so everything is outside. So we do our show outside. But I don't know what's going to happen in the winter.
Right. No, of course, yeah. I don't think the weather in Essen in December is going to be suitable for outside gigs, do you?
Oh, no. Well, we'll have to do Zoom meetings again, but yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Well, people often ask me, how would Mark find this, you know?
Yeah.
Because he didn't use computers. And it's hard to say.
It is. So I'm glad you brought that up because I know you'd much rather talk about what you're up to now, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to hold you to talking about the fall, I'm afraid.
I'm throwing you a bone there.
Yes.
So you joined September 2002, is that right?
Well, the first time I was in the studio with Mark was 1997, I think. And we worked on a song. I had to write the lyrics. And I think it was about you because it was called Old Gang.
Ah. So, yeah. Somebody else who was on that, I think.
I was on that, yes.
Yes. So where was that then?
I don't know. I think the studio was in... Sorry, I'm having a bit of Greek salad. Mark loves Greek food now. I'm really sad that he cannot eat anything anymore.
That's all right. So...
I think it was May, but I'm not sure. Honestly, I don't know the date anymore. But it was in a studio in Primrose Hill or Notting Hill, in that area.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, there was for the last album I was on, for the Levitate album, that was on, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So did we ever meet then?
Yes, we did meet in Berlin, don't you remember?
Yes, I do. I don't remember meeting in Primrose Hill. It was in Edwin Collins' studio.
He took he took me into the studio, but just me.
Okay. Right.
So is it a good record then, Old Gang?
You have to ask me, but still munching on an olive there. That's the first time I went to the show. But we recorded spoken word stuff together as well. And that came out as Panda, Panzer, Panzer.
All right. Okay. So,
and I also did the cover for that. So I did a lot of covers, but I never really credited myself for them. But now I will.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
Tell everyone.
Yeah.
Tell everybody, yes. Speaking of that, I was going to ask about one of the big... we'll get on to how you joined the band. So that was like, 3 years later, was it? Maybe 5 years later you joined?
Yeah, something like that. I think we met in 95, you know, and then we were pals and things developed from there. How was it with you? I don't know exactly. You probably met through friends and then you joined, right?
Yes, that's right. Well, I met through my brother. Everything I've ever done in music.
And you were like 16, right?
Yeah, I was. Yes. I mean, I only joined to get them out of the jam. The drummer left and they had one date left on the tour.
Oh, yeah.
So they only got me in for that one date, but somehow I managed to worm my way in.
Gotcha. So, well, I didn't want to join the band because I had my own band that was doing very well. Mm-hmm. And we had to record this DVD because we were really, really poor. You know, when I came over, Mark was bankrupt. Mm-hmm. I was doing well in Berlin. I was a promoter. I had my bands.
Yeah.
I did other stuff. and Mark was bankrupt.
I don't think it was the best of times then for Mark, was it? Or for the fall? No. I don't think when you joined.
No, I mean, I worked like cleaning toilets in restaurants for so that we have food. You know, we really, really had nothing because I left everything behind to help him. And then my mom died, you know, just as we got married. So, but talking of which, we built everything back up, didn't we?
Certainly did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
That's quite incredible. Yeah.
Because and I really, really, really dedicated all my love to that. You know, to help him.
Well, it shows. I think. Oh. I think it was a remarkable achievement.
So we had to do this DVD.
Yeah.
For money.
Oh yes.
And it's a terrible, terrible thing because the Secret Records keep reissuing the same songs again and again, and we tried to stop it while Mark was alive. Mm-hmm. We can't. I don't know. They're not going to show us the contract. So they need a keyboard player to play. And so we had this girl, Ruth, and I said, okay, I can do a few songs by my face and stuff. But then you know how it is. And it's like you get roped in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Right. But I mean, so that was early on when you dropped. What was that called, that DVD? I can't remember now. Was it the kind of greatest?
I have no idea. Live in Blackburn.
Live in Blackburn, I was going to say, yeah.
Yes.
Touch sensitive also, I don't know.
Right, okay. So by the time you started recording stuff like, was it Country on the Click? Was that the first album you were on? Or Real New Fall LP it was called, wasn't it, when it finally came out?
Mm. Yeah, I think so. A lot of keyboards were also played by the drummer. You know, I don't know if you've met him. Have you met him, Dave?
I don't know, Dave. No, I don't know. Not had him on, have we?
Dave Milner.
Dave Milner, yes.
Of
course. You must have met him. You must have met him.
No,
we haven't.
He was very nice. I think he wrote a lot of songs as well, you know, at home. And, of course, Ben, who's a really good pal. And I'm really friends, with the people who I'm in touch with. I haven't seen Dave again, but I talked to Ben and I talked to the dudes, as they're called.
Yes, you know, I need to. But I mean, one of the things we've kind of picked up on doing this podcast is everybody seems very friendly, considering, you know, the kind of reputation that the Fall has for fighting and falling out. Everyone we've spoken to has been absolutely lovely, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can't speak for what you went through. You obviously, I don't know what to say. I knew Mark then, and he told me how it was being in jail in New York, and he was very upset that you must have fallen out over something. I don't know. I wasn't there.
It does tend to upset you a bit being put in jail, I would imagine. I don't think anybody's going to begrudge you being a bit upset about that. But I mean, I don't think anybody came out of that particularly well. Did they? Do you, Steve? What did you think about that?
No, but you have to take it on the. It was a culmination of 5 really bad years everybody was kind of at their end of the tether with everything, and that was just like the end, and people had had enough by then. But it wasn't just an isolated event. It was the end of a build-up of years and years of trouble and cancelled gigs and all sorts. And financial troubles and
Look at it this way. I mean, I was lucky because I was doing quite well with my band. I was traveling and stuff. But being with the Fall meant we can travel the world. Like, would you even go to New York with your band? Or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm lucky because I have the art world a little bit, so I can go different places because my music can be more free, you know?
Yeah.
So I went to Australia. I would have never gone to Australia, probably, if it wasn't for the...
No, definitely not.
We have to be grateful.
Of course.
Oh, we are, yeah.
Massively grateful.
Yeah. No, really. Very generous. I think, I know maybe you had a different experience, but I've seen him hand money to beggars. He would always help people. He would donate money to the blind if he had, but often, of course, we had nothing. And that's where we go back to. That's why I joined that DVD. Because we...
Yeah, of course, yeah.
We really had nothing, you know. And people forget that. And Mark knew what I had sort of given up to help him. Mm-hmm. But I think people forget that, you know? People
mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
Because they always think, oh, he must have been rich. It's like, what? You didn't know we didn't have any money. We really had to borrow fivers of my mates or his mom to buy cigarettes, you know, or food. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't even have a TV, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But well, I mean, very happy, actually.
I don't think you were under any illusion that Mark was loaded after you left, Steve, were you?
No, no. That was all going on at the end of when I left. Yeah, all that financial trouble was all building up, mm-hmm. And I did contribute to that a lot financially. Mm-hmm. It cost me a lot as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, let's get back to when you were in the band. So, I tell you what I was surprised about. I was looking today. Theme from Sparta FC. You wrote that, didn't you? But you've not got a credit on that song.
Listen, we shouldn't go into this because, you know, people won't believe us. But at least...
Well, I found that hard to believe.
I have no credit on.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we could spend 3 hours talking about songs, not me, but certain people not getting credit on songs. But I mean, I think a lot of that kind of worked out, didn't it? Possibly. I can't really say because I didn't really write anything anyway. But that one really stuck out for me because you wrote the words, I believe.
Mm. There's a Mark Love Greece as well, you know. Uh-huh. Maybe even more than me. Sorry, I have to eat more Greek salad in commemoration. Because you can't go now. Really, I'm just, I cry every day. You must remember. For me, he was also.
Of course, yes.
Love, I wouldn't
presume to compare our experiences. It's a different matter.
No, I'm just saying it's like really upsets me that he can't join us now, you know, because mm-hmm. I wish you two would have made up of you three, sorry. You know. But, yes, Sparta.
Mm-hmm. And because there's some really good songs on those albums, like Fall Heads Roll. Have you got good memories of that? Because that was a different lineup again, wasn't it? Because I was looking, you were on like three completely different lineups of band, weren't you? I suppose.
Oh, yeah, like I love Spencer as well, you know.
Yeah.
He's a great guy with talking, and I got some pals, and like for example, Darren, was my friend from my teenage days. Because he was in Prem, remember? Prem, then from Birmingham. And then we needed a guitarist. I don't know why. And the Pubic Fringe was his band. They used to support us.
Yeah.
Because we were kids. And then sort of that's how we got Pete.
Right.
Who might have it. Darren, who's a really good drummer.
Right. Uh-huh. Because, well, I mean, that the first one, I wasn't massively familiar with the until the Fall Heads Roll album. I caught quite well, but that's a great album, isn't it? That's a really good album. It's got What About Us on?
There are so many hits on it. I mean, they're all still topical. Yeah. What is your favorite?
I think Blindness is. I think it's brilliant. I think that's a fantastic song.
Definitely, that was Spencer's idea.
Was it? Was that? Am I right in saying that was on a TV ad? Blindness.
It was, I think. It was in America.
Yeah.
Not in Europe.
Right.
It was like Mitsubishi or something.
Right. So that's two car adverts because the other one, Touch Sensitive was on a car ad as well, wasn't it?
What? But you don't get that much money. Anyway,
no.
Like Spencer had this really good idea with the bass line, which is obviously, you know, lifted. Like a little bit. bass lines were used to them. When I started playing bass, because my friend bought a bass because he was into reggae, but after a week he sort of didn't want to play anymore. So I started playing when I was 15 or so. Mm-hmm. I play differently to you. I play with my thumb, holding the notes down with my.
Yeah. He can't play without a plectrum, Steve. He's not good enough.
No.
I play with a plectrum. I mean, because I had such a long bass for my friend, I couldn't reach the neck. So I had to hold the strings down with my thumb. I have to say, sometimes I wish maybe I should have like played the bass in the fall, so it would have been more like your style.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like finger picking style, you know.
Yeah, like,
It's easy, the bass, though, isn't it? Anybody can play it, can't they? Let's face it. It's not like drumming, is it?
Drumming is hard.
God bless you. So then, was that a good time for you, the Fall Heads Roll album? Was that things were getting a bit more back on track by then, I believe, I would think, wouldn't you?
Yes, we had like the Peel session, you know, he was still alive, I think. And we had so many new songs all the time, you know, writing new music at home as well. A lot of songs have never come out. I still have the tapes with the different things we recorded. So, yeah, I think it was a good time.
Yeah, well, it kind of gets, that's kind of a big pity because that was when the documentary was made, wasn't it then? So there's kind of high visibility for that lineup, I suppose.
There is an, I think because it was also a different time in music. The internet existed, but we still could, like, you know, make records the old-fashioned way. We didn't have the illegal downloads and all the streaming that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
So we had more gigs, you know.
Yeah.
Doing okay.
Yeah. I mean, and we were talking about the things you had to do to keep the band going. And one thing I did want to talk about, how you managed to keep that American tour going after losing the rest of the band. That was quite an achievement, wasn't it? That can't have been easy.
Thank you. Well, I have to credit my old friend Zafi, who was traveling with us doing the video. He was the support group.
Yeah.
Also, because, you know, obviously me and Mark didn't have a credit card, so we woke up. Yeah. Everything was gone. Now you know me or you don't know me, but I don't hold grudges.
Uh-huh.
Like, I called Stan and Sven that week and made up with them. You know, they apologized, mm-hmm. especially Spencer's now wife, Amy. But mm-hmm. it wasn't easy, obviously. I don't know if you've been to Arizona.
I have.
Yes.
It's very, very hot. We had no money. Obviously, we didn't have a vehicle. You can't just take a train or something. Without a credit card, you're nothing.
Yeah.
And Zafi got us a car. We went to the supermarket. We stocked up. And then we stayed with a brother of the founder of Nana.
Right.
Shaheen's brother.
Okay.
And then we had a gig in San Diego. And it was like magic. We drove down the road. We see those three dudes. We immediately get on, love each other. I went to buy batteries with him. I think we started playing. And then we did the first gig that night. And then we went, I think, to Pomona. It was great. It was such a happy time.
That's amazing. So, that's it.
And did you never feel like cancelling it? No?
Because life always throws you something else. I mean, meeting the dudes was also amazing.
Yeah,
you
know, of course.
Such great people. Wow. And I'm sure if it wasn't for the distance, we mm-hmm. would have made more records. Like, Orfeo is doing great things. Tim always has good music.
Yeah.
And Rob has a studio now in Texas, and he just brought out some film music. So it's more like my style, you know, mm-hmm. doing different things.
Yes.
Always doing something new. Mm. And they were such good people, you know.
Yeah.
We really liked them.
So how long did, so was it just logistics that stopped that band continuing? Because it can't have been the most convenient thing in the world to have three of the band in the USA and two of you in the UK.
Yeah, especially with visas and stuff. I mean, Orfeo had a second passport, like a French passport.
Uh-huh.
But you know how it is.
Yeah.
The paperwork. Mm. So if they came over, let's say we had a gig in Spain, they came over just for that gig or just for a gig in Norway.
Yeah.
It is a bit far. And I remember we went to Norway. It was the first day when you couldn't travel with your liquids.
Yes.
Things like that, you know.
Okay.
So air travel got harder and harder.
Yes.
Over the years. So it was like more paperwork and more visa stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I think it was logistics. Otherwise, who knows?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But I mean,
and you.
Sorry, I was going to say it did work out for the best, didn't it? In a way, because the kind of Imperial Wax lineup is probably one of the most successful lineups.
I disagree.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's interesting.
But why didn't you come back or talk to Mark?
Wasn't asked.
What?
Why didn't I come back?
Yeah. Oh, like talk to him or something. I don't know. May I ask?
Well,
too many bad things had happened between us, I think.
I have never fallen out with anybody, so I don't know how that is, you know. I'm friends with my friends always forever. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, it's just one of those things. And I mean, I was never in a position to go back anyway. I'd been gone for whatever years. But I think there was too much gone on for Steve and Mark to ever start working again, I think. And not to say, you know, it's whose fault it is or anything else. I think it was just too much, wasn't it, I think, Steve?
Yes, yeah. Honestly, if I went into it, you'd probably understand, but there was too many things that happened that made it impossible.
It's sad. What can we do? I just wish he was here now, and he could tell you something about his times in Athens, like how he saw the Minotaur, or he played here. You must have been there. Maybe even you, Paul. I don't remember the lineup, but my cousin has shown me pictures when you played very early 80s here with Nick Cave, some festival, and there was on the streets.
That was great, man. That was so
What was
great.
That then?
It was Nick Cave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New Order.
Yeah.
And the Fall on three nights in like a stadium.
Oh, right. Yes, I was there. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You were there,
you were there. I was. The photo. So how was it? Tell me, guys. How was it? What did you do?
That was a really, really pretty amazing weekend. It was. We did all headlined one night each, so... Uh-huh. New Order did the Sunday, I think.
The right.
Birthday party did. Was it birthday party Friday or Saturday? New Order Sunday, I think.
Not sure.
I'm sure somebody will be able to tell us. But my main memories of it is because it was so successful. The promoter took us all out to this massive disco in Greece, which I've never seen anything like it, and he insisted on buying us ouzo all night. And consequently, the next day was the worst, probably one of the worst feelings I've ever had in my life. And if I ever smell ouzo again, it would be too soon.
Yeah.
It was a big thing.
You know how Greece is very avant-garde regarding music, but they always also have very loyal fans here. But you never knew where they would be. Like, I'd go for a meal with Mark and they'd be like, no, it's on the house, you know, it's an honor. So I went out the other day here with some techno producers, but lots of people approached us and we're like, obviously, for fans. You can never tell. That is one thing I think is often overlooked, is the Fall fans that write to me or that I meet. Usually young people, you know, maybe under 20.
Yeah.
A lot of girls, a lot of people in countries like Turkey or Poland also, where we didn't necessarily go. Most of the people I meet are queer. Not necessarily all of them are European or white. And that is something that I think... people in England have such a UK-centric view of Fall fans.
Yeah.
It was the same with John Peel. When I remember being on a ferry here with my friend and listening to John Peel in Greece. You could listen to the Fall and John Peel all over the world.
Right.
So it's not a UK thing and it's not a white people thing.
Right. You know, that's interesting. Absolutely. Yeah. Because it's not something that you necessarily think of, that, you know, they're kind of seen as like one of those kind of white sort of English rock bands, aren't they, to a lot of people, certainly in England, you'd say.
Yeah. But we have to remember that all over the world, it made such an impact. So many people write to me. And I meet them or I know them, you know. So I think that's something that needs to be said as well, you know.
Yeah. I think it's kind of surprised me since Mark's death just how influential it's kind of become more people have come out with it more, how influential the Fall were. It's kind of taken me by surprise. I don't know about you.
Well, he will probably say, you don't know what you have to lose. He also liked to talk about the two-year gap when people start missing something, you know.
Yes.
They want to come back.
Yes.
He did.
He did. But especially he loved Greek, everything more than me. He would say, Είμαι χαζός Άγγλος. And he says that actually at the beginning of the Glastonbury gig we did.
Yeah.
It means I'm a stupid English person. Really thought. He also supported Greece in the football.
Did he?
So I still find it weird when English people actually support England or like Germans support Germany or so. Like,
yeah.
I find it odd to support your own. It's like a bit nationalist, you know, like, ooh. And then you get into arguments like, no, it's patriotic. And like,
right.
So he would take a marker pen and make a Greek flag and put it in the window in Prestwich to make sure that everybody knows that he's supporting Greece.
Okay. Right. I didn't know that. I didn't know he didn't support England. Well.
No. Oh, what is this in the background? Do you have pets? Is it a bird?
What?
I can hear like sound, bird sounds in there. Do you have any pets?
Me? No pets, me. Oh, how's the cat? I was going to ask you, how's the new cat?
Oh, how do you know?
You told me the other day. You told me you got a new cat.
She's so lovely. I love her so much. You know. Did you know Frau, Mark's cat?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
How long did that cat live?
Well. Pardon?
She lived to 23.
Wow.
Good God. Yeah. I didn't know that was possible.
I know. She was a very special cat.
Well, she'd have to be to live to 23.
I used to stay at his flat and look after the cats when he was
really
away.
Tell us more.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
How many were there?
Yeah, two. Was a son.
Yeah. Frau and the other one.
You can't leave it there. I thought you looked after them.
I can't remember. I did, but I can't. Okay, it was a long time ago.
How did you call him in for the tea if you can't remember his name?
I could remember it then.
Well, thanks for asking about the new cat. I've been feeding the stray cats here, and people are really looking after them. So every day you see them with fresh water and like fresh food. So that's really nice to see. So I think I should have gotten a new cat after Frau went, but we were always traveling, you know. So
yeah.
Yeah, but now I feel I should have gotten another kitten. That'd be nice.
Right. So where were we? What was the last album
Mark
we did?
Mark loved Emmett so much.
Your Future Our Clutter, was that was with the new lineup, was it? The Imperial Wax kind of lineup?
Yeah, that's also a good record, I think.
It is. So I think that lineup, I think we discussed this briefly before. You're not quite as, what's the word, enthusiastic about that lineup as I thought you might be, because you think the Dudes were a better band, do you? Do you think?
Because they allowed more of like a silence as well for Mark's words to come through.
Right.
Like, you know, I like how they all play and all that, but it was too rocky for me. Like,
yes.
You have songs like Patty Thief Loud, which go loud and then they go quiet and then there's space for words or Mark will sink us, or you know, things like that were like not always the symbols, also, you know, so you can hear the words more.
Yeah.
So weird songs like this, like Weather Report, or so, where there is quiet bits.
Weather Report.
But you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. They've never been big on my radar, Weather Report, I have to say. It's a bit too joust for me.
Yeah. Well, you have to remember, a lot of these songs started out, I wrote them more like techno or dancehall songs,
yes.
But then guitar was put on top and then the character changed. Like,
right, of course.
A dancehall reggae song also into like a goth rock.
Yeah.
So, you know what, it's still good. It's still good. Yeah. I'm not complaining.
I mean, it's an interesting thing, that whole thing of what someone brings in and how it ends up. I think...
Yeah.
In the fall.
It never turns out how you expect it to, does it?
No, but I love collaborating. Like, I always work with other people.
That's the best thing about it.
And that's what lockdown, now we've been sending files to each other, but slowly we can meet again and then not maybe be in the same room, but at least be outdoors together and make
music. So when do you think you'll be back up on? Do you think it you'd be doing normal gigs again? Are you looking forward to that? Or is it kind of more kind of museum-y kind of stuff you're doing, like exhibition-y?
I think, you know, maybe next year. It depends on how it goes with this new mutations and all this stuff. Because nobody can say what will happen. I think we'll be in lockdown again.
Germany. Well, I'm not ruling it out here, to be honest.
No, me neither. Mm. It's definitely
not going away. The school's opening again.
Yes.
But yeah, definitely the museum-y type things allow us for more freedom to not have a song structure. So I do a lot of things that are more like spoken word.
Yeah.
That was Alan Dunn.
Yeah,
he's from Liverpool.
So you is that
Once Living thing? Dogs is a band I do with Austin Collins and the amazing guitar player from By the Sea. I don't know, Mark loved Liverpool bands, and they're from the Wirral.
They're not real Liverpoolians from the Wirral. They're only playing at it. They're country pumpkins.
I know. Don't start with that rule. I follow several Liverpool meme accounts. I am well aware of that. My favorite account is Indigo Kidder.
Right, okay. I'll look for that.
It's a meme account from Liverpool. It's very fun.
Right, okay.
No, but, you know, I don't know if you've listened to Bomb Sniffing Dogs, and we played live. And I think best club in the world, the White Hotel. We're sort of the house band of the White Hotel in Manchester. Have you been?
No, I haven't. Have you been, Steve?
To the White Hotel? I think I have, yes. Yeah. In Salford, yeah.
Yeah. So I think they're slowly opening again, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Can I just take a moment to confirm the name of that band? Bum Sniffing Dogs, is that right?
Bum Sniffing Dogs, yeah.
Oh, okay. Did hear right.
I did hear right.
Collins, you know, who wrote the biography with Mark. And then Natalie Curtis is doing photos.
Right.
She's Ian Stoddard. And we have Sophie Slade Johnson also contributing with vocals and words, as am I. And we have so many people doing remixes and working with us, but I'm super happy to play with everybody together. But as of now, of course, we cannot all meet.
Yeah.
So check that out.
Definitely.
Thank you.
So the other one thing I did want to ask you about was the Otherwise, which Graham was kind enough to send me a copy of. It's great, and I think your introduction's really good. That kind of shows a different side to Mark that we don't see very often. That he had a great way of watching TV, didn't he?
It was so much fun. I mean, it was never a dull moment, and we would always make sure that people would be happy and entertained, and that he always made me laugh, and every day so special, you know?
Yeah.
Like such a trivial thing like watching a film or the news. He would just make fun or mimic something, or he would record something and then make something out of it. Like, let's say the digital TV gets stuck and there's like a weird sound, and immediately would record it and it'd be on a song. But also in private, you know, he would mimic people, actors, make fun, make sure you feel good. And he always did this for everybody. But, you know, when you're with somebody every day, maybe you sort of take it for granted.
Yes.
And I have a lot of friends that I love very deeply. And like the friend I'm here with in Athens, he makes me laugh after 30 years. You know, we're good pals. But Mark was especially sweet like that. And I think people forget how he went through great lengths to make people feel good, especially on tour, even when he was feeling sick.
Yes.
He often felt sick. You know?
Of course, yeah.
Right.
I mean, we've discussed it, but I mean, it's not really our place to go into any of that. It's not none of our business really about Mark's illness. But I mean, what we could say is it's amazing that he carried on as long as he did, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, just like every day, you know, he was car sick, he was snow blind, you know. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, really on tour, you always catch some cold or flu, or you know how it is if you're traveling. Yeah, like somebody has a toothache, there's no dentist, and somebody like bangs their leg. Oh, you know, he broke his leg or whatever. Yeah. So things were wrong. But it's a great, great book, and I wish somebody would have made it into a film or a series.
Yeah.
And he would have still seen it, because you know how he loved Philip K. Dick, and I think it was during your first American tour where then second when Blade Runner came out and Philip K. Dick didn't live to see it.
Yeah.
But he was supposedly also a foil fan, I thought.
What was that?
Sorry, can you hear me? That yes. Philip K. Dick also was a foil fan. Mark always told me that.
Right.
And okay. So it's so sad, but I hope that when people read the book, they can make their own images and imagine how Mark would have seen it, you know?
Yeah. I think Graham Duff would love to make it into a real...
It's never going to happen, is it? It's still possible, I think.
It's possible. It's possible. It'd be lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would. Right.
Yeah, it's a great, great, great book. And like, I'm trying to also do different things in Mark's world. Like, people approach me about lyric books. And I would love to do a book with art where people who are inspired by folk songs.
Yes.
So their paintings or collages or photos, because so many artists I meet are big fans, you know?
Yeah.
So the energy they receive, maybe they can show us something in return. Do you think that'd be nice?
I mean, it is a mark of Mark's work and the fall, how many other artistic disciplines he kind of influenced. I mean, even Grayson Perry, you know, and Michael Clarke. It's quite amazing, really, the influence he had, I think.
So many artists, and I meet new ones every day, like I said, where you never think, and young ones, not only, only old ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that'd be a good way to do books.
Yeah.
In that way, because he liked the fantastic and
of course. So have you come to terms with it now? You're quite happy to look back at the fall, or it's not a painful memory for you, is it? I don't think.
It's very painful.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, you certainly gave a good account of yourself. I hope we haven't brought up any painful memories or made you feel.
Yes, comfortable. I hope so.
No, I just wish he was here and he could eat the food he so liked, you know?
Of course, yeah.
Yes, of course.
I wish he could drink the wine. And maybe one day you can come back to Athens and enjoy.
Yeah.
May I ask you for a food memory you can share with me, with Mark? Because he ate also in a very peculiar way, very passionate.
To be fair, there wasn't a lot of eating.
You must have eaten.
We did eat. I think the big memory for he did have a great sense of humour, of him. He was a very, very funny guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I can remember laughing like all
Not at the same time.
No. But you don't remember eating anything, not even like a marathon bar, whatever they were called.
I think I ate the odd marathon bar when I was in the fall, I think,
Yeah. Cup of tea, something. I don't know, did you just eat with him once, maybe?
I did eat with him lots of times. He used to like a nice English breakfast.
Yeah.
When we were in hotels.
Yeah.
We shared a lot of those.
You were never up in time for breakfast.
We were.
But nice to speak to you.
Yes, you too. It's great to speak to you.
Yeah.
So nice. Thank you. And hope I can see you last.
Yes.
Eventually. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. And good luck on all your future endeavours. I hope they all work out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Work out there soon.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye. Take care,
Alan. Thanks for joining us this week on Old Brother. Episode 3 will be with you in 2 weeks, all being well. Please follow us on Twitter, at Old Brother Show, at Hamley PA, and at Stephen Hamley 6 with a PH. You can subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, RSS, so you'll never have to miss an episode. And while you're at it, you might want to check out our books, The Big Midweek, Leave the Capital and Have a Bleeding Guess, available from Root Publishers or all good bookstores. Hope to see you again soon, and remember, if you're driving, take your car. Ta-da!
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.